Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help, you save.
A sprawling desert of green and blue stone as far as the eye can see. A patchwork of massive fingerprints frozen in time like an ocean of glass. It is a perilous journey to pass through its cold and unyielding valleys and crags. Yet, in the very center of this expanse lies the jewel of the wastes itself, a floating archipelago hanging far above a treacherous maw. A refugee haven and a slice of paradise for those who survived the trek. You, lucky, privileged, haunted you, are among them. You are invited to experience a moment in the life of one Wilma Shirley and discover what happened in the Malachite Wastes.
Wilma, do you remember your dreams?
I do.
What were you dreaming about last night?
Last night, I was dreaming that I was in a cabin in the woods, someplace very beautiful and cold and wet. And I was sitting in this cabin and I thought I had the space to myself. And I found myself interrupted by many of my friends, who were all kind of chattering away about their lives and very excited to include me in this like gossip. And I felt like strangely happy, you know, even though my peace was interrupted.
You dream of this chattering, this noise. And as you wake, you wonder for a second if your dreams have crossed into reality. You can hear this kind of happy sort of chattering sound. And you realize as you start to wake up that it's your roommate. She's turned on the radio or, you know, she's put on some music and she's singing along as she's cleaning up in the living room. It sounds like that you can hear this kind of stuff moving. You can hear that sound. It's not loud. You don't think that she meant to wake you, but just kind of that like from the other room.
Mm-hmm. I kind of do a big stretch. I get ready for the day. I'm definitely putting on, you know, comfy clothes, the kind of clothes that you pop on when you have a lot of errands to do, so you have to like go out into the world, but you're not trying to impress anybody.
Yeah.
So some, you know, equivalent of yoga pants kind of deal, and put my hair up into its signature, you know, messy ponytail, and I'll head out and say, good morning, Fatima.
You see your roommate. She's a tall elven young woman, a little bit taller than you. She has kind of rich, dark skin. She's wearing a head covering, and she's just been doing some like little spruce ups around the house. She's not particularly magically endowed in any way. A lot of people think it's probably old fashioned that she would be vacuuming like this instead of like having some kind of little tech setup. But you guys have talked before. She enjoys having things to do with her hands. She enjoys the little mundane, and she looks at you like kind of surprised for a second. You can see she takes out like a headphone and she realizes they're not attached to anything. And she goes, oh,
it's fine. It's fine.
Oh,
it happens
so
all the time.
Sorry, Will. Will, I'm so sorry. Did I wake you?
Yeah, but hey, I went to bed early last night. So you're not interrupting my 8 hours.
I feel like such a jerk.
Oh, you could never be a jerk. Come on, you're cleaning the apartment for us.
Well, it was just a little bit. You know how it gets after a couple of days. It's not like you're not a very messy roommate, so it makes it easier on both of us, I think.
Yeah, but I'm messy compared to you.
It's
fine. You don't have to respond to that. I'll start making you breakfast.
No, you don't have to do that. Oh my gosh, you don't have to do that.
And oh, she's hush sort up.
Of, She sort of tucks the vacuum away for a second. You can just tell she's a little flustered. Like, she didn't realize that. She really thought she was kind of being, like,
quiet
and giving you space. In this moment, as you're kind of getting stuff ready for breakfast, describe what does Wilma look like?
Wilma is a, like, slightly on the taller side, half-elven woman. She has this, like, dirty blonde, wavy hair that's a little messy, a lot of freckles. And she's very strong, but her muscles are not well-defined. She's pretty thick, what some people would say. And she looks very average in a lot of ways. She's not a particular intense beauty. She is not somebody who has features that, like, would make someone stop and stare, but that doesn't bother her at all. She thinks she's great. She tends to go for more casual clothing, a lot of athletic, like, casual wear, a lot of, like, half office, half not. Very jeans and a nice black top.
Yeah, I was gonna say business top, leggings on bottom. Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, she is very, very happy living here in the Malachite Wastes. And she, I think, starts to go over to the kitchen and begins to make some just basic, like, eggs and grits and maybe some oatmeal or something for Fatima and her.
And Fatima sort of falls into stride next to you. I think you've become, as you've lived together, very easily cohabitable. Were you friends before you moved in with each other, or have you become friends now living together?
No, we didn't know each other, actually, before we moved in together. But now we've been living together for about 5 years, and we are best friends now.
Completely in sync. She kind of slides in next to you and starts, because it's a little harder to get, like, fresh juices and stuff, starts to get the cans of, like, the frozen, like, juice, concentrated juice, and she starts to make that. She makes something that's sort of like an orangey pomegranate juice this morning, and she's sort of, like, shaking her head. She's still, like, in that way that you're residually a little embarrassed, but you guys know each other well enough that she's just, like, it's less like, oh, I've really ruined your morning, and more of like, ah, what a stupid thing that I did,
yeah,
kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And she's sort of getting stuff ready, and she's like, so you're going up to Fayhaven today?
Yeah, I got to go up to Fayhaven in like an hour and a half or so. I might get going sooner, honestly, though.
Okay. Could you pick up some more onion powder while you're there? I'll throw it at you.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to probably run down to Mid-City if you need anything while I'm down there. Oh, it's Skylar's birthday later. Are you planning to go, or is that one of those things that we're like...
Do you think we have to make an appearance, or...
We could always just offer to take them to brunch this weekend. That would probably be better anyway.
That's what I'd prefer to.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say, I mean, like, I was already getting a little bit of a migraine. Yeah, I'll just say, like, I was having a migraine, and you're taking care of me because you're such a good roommate.
Such a good roommate. Aww.
So does that mean we can just stay in tonight and watch something? Because that sounds really nice.
That is what I vote to.
Okay. Amazing.
We have to catch up on that show we've been.
Amazing. Oh, yeah. Have you? Okay, listen.
I haven't seen anything yet. Don't spoil it.
Okay.
I know you watch ahead, but I'm loyal.
But I didn't. Okay, like, no, I actually haven't. I've just been watching, like, have you seen any of the trailers, though?
No, I'm going blind.
Okay, fine.
Girl, you can't expect, like, you know I go in blind. I don't even like to watch, like, coming up.
So I can't even tell you which of the characters are, like,
No. Oh, my God, okay, girl.
Yeah, fine. Like, it's fine. I mean, you know, I don't even know why I'm trying to explain it to you.
No, so. I get you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, no, like, they would not notice if we show up tonight or not.
No, I don't think that they would care.
No.
Either way.
But, like, yeah, it's fine. Okay, well, cool. Great. Glad we're on the same page. Also, your mom called?
My mom called the house phone?
Yeah, like the house phone.
Fucking hell. Okay.
I assumed if you weren't answering that I would just say that you were out and I would tell you about them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I think that is the best way. I'll call her. Sorry about that.
No. I mean, I guess it's not, I don't ever mind that kind of stuff. It's like, just wanted to make sure, like, are you okay? Like, are they?
I don't know. We don't talk as much as we used to. Like, not as much as we did when I was in university, for sure.
No, yeah.
But I don't know. She probably is calling, asking about, like, if I'm coming to the next holiday or if, I don't know, if I've gotten some new recipe. She calls for silly things. I'll ring her, though.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah. Here. You have breakfast. I'm going to call her back.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. And she, like, you can see she helps herself, but then she also, like, fixes up your plate and, like, puts a little, like, tinfoil over it already. Like, she's got your back. She knows you. And I think she also understands, like, you have the shorthand of this conversation. You both know what the other person is asking, and the fact that we aren't addressing more of it is the answer to the question.
I'll grab the house phone. I'm imagining it's like in the kitchen, and I'll snag it and take it over to my room, close the door for some privacy.
You call your parents home. It rings longer than you know your mother usually waits to pick up the phone before she answers it.
Hello?
Hey, Mom.
Oh.
Hey, it's Will.
Yeah, yes, I frankly, I didn't expect you to call back so soon.
Well, I mean, you called my house phone, so I figured it must be some kind of important.
I mean, I don't want to bother you. I don't want to put you out. You know, the last thing your father and I want is to feel like a burden to you, and, you know,
Mom, it's fine, like, you guys are not a burden. You're my parents. Just, I'm wondering what was so important that you needed to call the house phone.
Well, does it have to be so important that I wasn't getting a hold of my daughter and I wanted to hear from her and so I called her home?
Well, no, but you know that I'm busy these days. And I always told you, if you need to get in contact with me, you can just send me a message. But if it's an emergency, call the house.
Well, it's not an emergency. It's
what are you talking about?
Well, like I said, I don't want to bother you. If you're busy, you can do whatever you need to do, and then
Mom,
I can talk to you later.
Mom, stop. Hey, whoa. What are you talking about? Just spit it out.
Well, your father, had a little spill today, and so, we took him in to the healers, and, you know, he's doing all right. I just thought you would want to know that your father is, you know, was in the hospital, but he's fine. So I don't know why I shouldn't have bothered. It's not that big a deal. And
whoa, Mom, if it's you're calling, then it's a big deal. He went to the hospital for a spill. How bad was the spill? What, did he scrape his knee or did he, like, break a leg?
It's one of those things that, I suppose, when humans get older, sometimes their bones just break and you don't know. They're just walking and then it breaks.
You should really know this about humans. You are married to one.
Well, I didn't realize, you know, I realized that they were fragile, especially now if he fell down and something would break. I didn't realize he would just be walking and then something would break.
Okay, well, is he still in the hospital? Like, what did the doctors say?
Yes, because he's was walking and his hip broke, and so that's why he fell. And so they fixed his hip because that was quite simple. But the problem is now that sometimes he's going to walk and his hip is going to break or something like that could happen.
Okay, well, where is he being held? Like, which healer did you guys go to? I'll come over.
You don't have to come. I'm not trying
Mom,
to inconvenience.
I want to come.
I'm not trying to inconvenience you. I just wanted you to...
Mom! You are not inconveniencing me, but you're inconveniencing me right now by not just telling me where you guys are. Which healer are you at? Which hospital?
It's Lotto's downtown because it was the closest. And, you know, he probably won't be there very long. They're trying to figure out what the next course of action is. And, you know, this wouldn't have been a problem. You don't have things like this happen back home. But, you know, people are just more frail here. And I didn't anticipate.
This isn't the Feywild.
No, it's certainly not.
Okay, well, I'll make my way over there. I can probably get there in maybe, 30 minutes.
Right, if you're sure, if you don't think it's going to put you out too much.
No, it won't put me out too much. It's fine. I can move things around. It's okay.
All right. Your father says hello. He's very cheerful for someone who just broke his hip.
I've never known him to not be cheerful.
He's relentlessly optimistic.
Yeah, well, that's the human side of him.
Yeah, that would do it.
Okay, well, I'll be there in 30. I'm going to let you go. Just make sure you're writing down or recording whatever the healers say. Okay, and I'll be there soon. Okay.
Do you not trust me to remember what they're going to tell them about your father? I have a very good memory.
I just want to make sure. Okay.
Yes, fine.
Okay, see you soon. And I'll hang up, get ready, and just kind of rush out the door. Hey, Fatima, I got to head downtown. My dad fell. He's at the hospital.
Oh, is he okay? Is that why?
I think so. I don't know. My mom's just acting weird, so I'm going to head down there.
I'm sorry. I would have. She sounds really normal on the phone. I didn't assume it was anything. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. You're good. I mean, how would you know? I'm just going to head down there and make sure everything's all right.
If they need anything, you know, I'll run down with dinner or anything that they need, you know, of course.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, 100%. Tell your dad I said hi.
Will do. You're his favorite child.
Yeah,
so
I know. Better remember that. So
I know. Ironic, because I'm actually his only child.
Except for me, because I was immediately adopted into your family.
Obviously. Yeah. All right. I'll head out now. Bye. Have a good day. See you later. I'll call and keep you updated, and I'll run out.
How do you usually get around the city?
Usually I'll get around via public transport or walking. I have my own vehicle, but typically I'm riding around on my bike. I'm using public transit. I'm going to say this particular way, I can pretty easily take the train almost directly to the hospital. Most hospitals are on a train or a bus route.
And you know that for your mom to take your dad to the hospital, because they live outside the city limits, they live a little bit more removed, and it's something that your mother always preferred. She always preferred more of a
wild
more of a slightly rural feel than the city itself. So for your mom to essentially make the trek, it was easy to then get to the hospital from the public transit. You're sure she called a cab or something like that. But usually if your dad had fallen or something, she would have just did a little mending at home or you know, helped. And so
they have local healers that aren't necessarily open all the time.
Exactly. So, you know, it's kind of hard, again, to tell. It's bad enough that she brought him in. You can't tell if she's overselling it or underselling it, because she's kind of doing both at the same time.
Yeah.
But you go up, you know, you ask for your dad, they send you up to the third floor where he has a room that shared with a few people, but it's got a nice big window looking out onto the city, and it's nice. The hospitals here are always nice and well taken care of and pleasant. It doesn't quite feeling like being in that.
It doesn't suck.
It can sometimes suck emotionally to be at the hospital, but it doesn't have the fluorescent, horrible feel that so many of our nighttime clinic visits have had.
Yeah, I imagine that this hospital in particular, too, is probably they're actively trying to make it look a little nicer. There's a little garden in there,
100%.
You know, they're trying to make it terrible. It's not necessarily working all the way, but it's better.
Yeah, there's lots of little as you said, garden areas. The rooms all have flowers, and they're not real flowers. They're paper flowers, but they've been really beautifully crafted, so they look quite real. You notice, though, right away when you walk in that your mom, she's been kind of, focusing on the paper flowers and kind of just...
Mom? Hey.
Hmm? Yes. Oh, Wilma, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you could make it, and everything's fine. But you know how your father gets about things like that. And she's like half paying attention to you and half kind of glaring at these like
the paper flowers. Yeah,
she's just like, I don't understand why they even bother. But it's fine. It's nice, I guess. I suppose.
Yeah, I know it's not. Kind of gesturing to the paper flowers. It's not nice, but it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Exactly. It's fine.
So what's going on with Dad? Like, what did the doctor say?
Well, they patched him up. His hip is fixed, good as new. They can't exactly... I suggested some kind of coating for his bones in some way to prevent... Unfortunately, to do so for... a human would render them fairly immobile. So that's not a good option right now. I mean, it's not as though he doesn't spend enough time on the couch. Then what am I supposed to do with that? So they're suggesting, you know, a series of potions he can take along with pills in the evening that'll strengthen his bones to a certain extent, but then like soften them, like make them more normal in the evening so he can sleep. I don't fully understand.
They can't just put a cast on.
They've healed the bone, but because they're just more brittle now, they're concerned it's going to keep happening.
Oh, okay.
So they're trying to make it so that during the day he won't break his own bones, but. If he takes it all the time, it'll stiffen his joints too much, and it could stiffen his blood vessels, which you don't want. And so then in the evening, he has to take this other set of these pills and this potion to make it not as stiff. And it's fine. It's just, you know, it's a new routine, new
reality.
Yes, I suppose so.
Okay, well... I'll talk to the nurses and to the doctor, and we'll see what's going on. I'll make sure they're
okay. I did everything. I wrote everything down like you told me, so you know it should. Okay.
I know. I just want to make sure I understand. You know, and I'll go and ring the call nurse button.
Yeah, and you see your dad is asleep, and he's probably compared to some of your like friends at school, not all of them, but he's a little bit of an old dad. Your mother still looks, I mean, she's a few hundred years old at this point, and she still looks like she's in maybe her 40s, maybe. And that's only because now being farther away from the Fae realm, she has given some of that up, that there's a mortality of being away from that magic that it seems that she has accepted as being part of her life here and with your father. Your father is getting up there. Your father is probably in his, like, 70s, maybe?
Ooh, okay, yeah.
Very late 60s, early 70s. And he's sleeping. Seems like maybe they put him on, like, a... doesn't look, it's not so scary as having like a whole IV drip and everything like that, but you think they probably gave him some painkillers, and he looks small. I think that's what you notice, is the hospital bed isn't huge by any means. Your mother, like you, is a little on the taller side, but she's not enormous by any means. And you just notice your dad looks really little in bed taking his little nap.
I think as Wilma is like looking at her dad, she is struck by how thin his skin looks, how there are so many more wrinkles, there's so many more age spots, there's so much more gray in his hair and his beard than there was before. And she always kind of imagined her dad as rather strong, you know? He was on the older side when he had her for human, even though her mom was like, her mom's an elf, so obviously.
Yeah, like she's a cougar, but like.
But like they got together when he was like 40.
Yeah, exactly. And even though you only look as though you're in your 20s, like you have lived much of the lifespan, same lifespan as your father has. You've probably lived almost as much of, you might be close to your father's age as how old as he was when he had you.
I think sitting at about like late 20s to mid 30s. but I look rather young.
Yeah, he was only a couple years older than you are now when he would have had you.
Just crazy to think about. I can't even imagine having children. It's so far off to me. But also because on the human side of me, it feels like it's been such a long time, and yet it's been no time at all. On the elf side of me, it feels like it's been such a short time. Like, how did this all move by so fast? It feels like yesterday that I was a child and he was, you know, lifting me up on his shoulders.
I was literally about to say, like, it feels like yesterday that he could scoop you up easily and you would play fairies before you knew you had any ability that one day you maybe could fly, that he would carry you around and push you around. And what a magnificent, magical thing that was, how that felt. Your father's, in his imagination and his playfulness, could make you feel as magical as your mother in her ethereal long life. There is just something so joyful and playful about your father's spirit that still is there, but now you are looking down in this hospital bed seeing, and that spirit seems so much smaller than you may have seen it before.
Oh, God.
You push the little bell, and one of the nurses comes in. A younger guy probably human, maybe has some, like, elf ancestry somewhere, but he gives you a smile. He's like, hey, you must be, are you?
Yeah, I'm his daughter. I'm Wilma.
You know, Jonah has been so great. Your dad is a real kicker. He's a real pisser. Making everybody laugh in here. I was telling your mother, and she kind of like, she's used to being the most intimidating person in a room a lot of the times.
Yeah.
And in the position she's in right now, where she's trying to like maintain that level of composure, and at the same time, like, having difficulty masking her concern is like, it's maybe more vulnerable than you've seen from her in a second. She's usually much better at kind of, and she is, she's keeping pretty composed. The average person may not see the sort of way that she is, her hands won't stay very still, and the lines in like the small furrow in her brow. He says, you know, I've been speaking to your mother. Your dad is doing great, honestly. He's just getting a little older. You know, this is not stuff that is unexpected. This is not stuff that's crazy. And yeah, we're going to do everything we can to make sure he's up on his feet and not having accidents like this as often.
Okay. Well, you know, she was saying that he has to be on some sort of regimen of pills and potions and stuff. Is that going to be temporary or?
Well, unfortunately, it seems like your father's developed some level of osteoporosis. There is some degeneration in the bone structure. You can see some arthritis in his hands and feet. There is developing some issues just around the skeletal structure, and that's tough. It is something he's going to be dealing with for the rest of his life. It's not the end of anything except not taking medicine at night. You know what I mean? Like, you're not seeing huge major impacts to his lifestyle right now. Mostly what we want to just have him do is take this potion in the morning with some food. That's going to be kind of give him a little bit of extra boost so these things don't happen as much. It becomes a thing where bone breakage is just a lot easier at his age. So we want to avoid that. And so this will be able to kind of give him a little bit of a, for lack of a better word, like a little shield, right, over his bones in the morning. But because of the arthritis, because of any kind of like joint issue, we don't want to keep that overnight. We don't want to exacerbate that. So in the evening, we're going to have him take these pills here. That's just going to essentially wear that off for the evening and apply some light soothing magic to his joints, help the swelling go down, any strain that was coming from the day. It should just kind of balance it out so he should be as mobile as possible.
Okay, so he's going to be on this regimen then for the rest of his life?
Yeah. Unfortunately, right now that is the case. There is a chance that at some point, if there are certain bones that he needs to have replaced, like a hip or a joint, a knee replacement, that kind of thing, that can be helpful. Right now, we don't necessarily think it's severe enough that we want to go that far. We don't also want to cause any damage to the surrounding bones necessarily by having surgery. We want to see how this goes for a little while because I think it'll do a great amount of good. But this is one of those things where magic can't do a lot about the reversal of the passage of time, right? And that is what's happening with the bones, right?
Yeah.
We can do a lot in terms of help stimulate cell regeneration as much as we can. But when it comes down to it, we can try to do as much as we can to mitigate that passage. But we can't reverse anything that's already happened in that capacity without major, major magic that might have bigger consequences than the procedure is worth, if that makes sense.
No, that does make sense. Okay, so after he is out of the hospital here, will we have to follow up with anyone?
Well, I'm sure you guys have a regular healer that you see. You know, we'll make sure that they get all of this new information, this paperwork. Usually, I would say at this age, you want to be seeing, if not quarterly, then at least a couple times a year, just doing your checkup. Your dad's very healthy in a lot of ways, so we're not too worried. But of course, both you, your mom, also your father, when he wakes up, if you're noticing any bad side effects, if you're noticing any stiffness past a certain point in the day, that's all stuff that we want to know about so we can adjust his dosage or anything like that. And obviously, you know, if he starts having any adverse reactions to the medicine, we want to know about that right away.
Yeah, understandable. Well, thank you.
Yeah, of course.
That's all I had for now. But if there's anything also that like you need to talk to them about, I would just love to be included if that's okay.
Yeah, of course. You know, do you mind if we just talk for a second?
Yeah, what's up?
Your mother has sort of moved over to your father's bedside. Listen, I don't want to be in any way alarmist. You know, your dad is, like I said, he's healthy. He's in good shape. He is human. I expect that for maybe you and your mom, you're going to notice a more rapid deterioration than you might expect.
What do you mean?
I don't know the best way to say this without, again, I
you can just, you know, whatever works. Don't worry, I'm very level-headed, I promise.
Of course. Your mom is going to age at a rate that is unexpected for elves, right? Because she is aging more visibly than many elves do when they're back in Feywild. Humans' aging process, as you probably already know, is more rapid than that. Your dad right now has some really wonderful years left in him. When things like this start to happen, when this deterioration starts to happen, there's not really, you don't really come back from that. So we can absolutely mitigate the symptoms. We can try and make him as obviously comfortable and happy as possible. His body is just such that it is going to deteriorate from this point on, likely.
So there is really no getting better at this point.
No, not so much as, like I said, we can heal bones, right? Your father could break his hip every day. You could bring him in here and we'd fix his hip, you know, and it would be repaired, but there isn't a lot we could do to make his bones better or stronger. We can't give him the heart of a 25-year-old human, you know, like this is just, there's only so much that medicine or magic can do to prolong someone's natural lifespan. I don't want you to come out of this conversation thinking it's this amount of time left or whatever that, but I want to be honest with you as from, you know, humanish to humanish, that from here on out, it's going to be managing whatever new things come up.
Okay. So you're saying that it's not going to really be better. It's gonna, or he is gonna, he's getting towards the, and Wilma cannot say the worst that she is thinking.
You can see the nurse kind of struggling with how to soften the reality of agreeing with what you're saying. As I said, like, it's very likely you have plenty of good years together. Obviously, you know, you're, when couples get into this situation, they have to be aware of this sort of thing. So I'm sure that this is something that your mother is not unprepared for, but it is a delicate conversation that I felt as though you might have more perspective on this conversation at this moment in time. It's a tricky conversation to have, and it's something that she should be aware of going forward, that it's a natural process, and that this is something that is supposed to happen for humans. This is not a breaking down of a machine in a way that it's not supposed to. Your father is in very normal, he's in very good health, and this is just, it will be part of life in a way that she has not necessarily experienced amongst other family members.
I got it. Well, thank you. I appreciate your time and explaining this. I guess I gotta talk to mom, so.
Yeah, and like I said, like, it's not a, ironically, this is a conversation that doesn't have a lot of urgency to it, but at some point, you know, it'll probably be good for your family to discuss this at some point.
And Wilma's gonna walk over to her mom. Oh god. You still asleep?
I could not tell you the last time that he slept so long without snoring.
It's because he knows that we're in public. He doesn't want to embarrass himself.
I don't think that's ever stopped him before, I'll be completely honest.
Yeah, well. Hey, Mom. So I just got done talking to the nurse, and it's not so bad, but I want to check in with you and make sure you understand that it's not looking like it's going to really get better.
Well, they've healed the hip.
Yeah.
And now he just has to take the medicine and he should be fine. That's what the doctors were saying, that it shouldn't change his...
No, I mean, Mom, yeah, he'll be fine. But, like, what I'm saying is he's not gonna get better again.
Is this the time for this conversation?
If anything, a little late for this conversation. Do you not want to have it?
I don't know if it needs to be had, Wilma. I understood when I married your father what that would entail, obviously.
So what, you understood and you don't want to talk about it now?
What is there to speak about? Humans have shorter lifespans than elves. This was something that we were aware of. It was conversations your father and I had many years ago, and you will have a life.
Hey, but what about now?
What difference does it make to have that conversation now when the conversation has been had?
How do you feel, Mom?
I don't...
It's different talking about it in a hypothetical versus when it's actually knocking at your door. You understand that he's going to need your help.
If we had stayed in the Feywild, it wouldn't have gotten this bad. It would have, your father would have adapted to the effects of the place, and it wouldn't have been forever, but it wouldn't have been like this. And
but you didn't. You didn't stay in the Feywild. It's useless to think about what if.
What would you like me to say, Wilma?
I don't know. Tell me that you're ready for this. Tell me that
I'm not ready for this. I don't know. I've given up a lot of my life to be here and to be with your father, and many, many of my friends and family are still happily married to their spouses, and I won't be.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude or anything. I want you to be prepared, and I want Dad to be taken care of.
Do you think I'm not going to take care of your father?
It's not that I think you're not going to take care of him, Mom.
Taking care of your father for the past 50 years.
You've been taking care of him when it was easy. This is different.
You think taking care of a mortal is ever easy? Do you know how fragile they are?
No, I know, Mom. I'm half him. I know. But I'm saying this is different. You're getting older too.
I can't have this conversation right now. I don't know why you've come here just to make it seem like I'm some sort of villain who doesn't want to take care of your father when I'm here,
Mom,
and I'm someone
not
who called
saying,
you in the first place.
I'm not saying you're a villain, Mom. I'm not trying to say that you're a bad person. I'm asking if you're ready. I'm asking how I can help. I'm asking if this is going to be okay.
Your mom walks out of the room.
Wilma lets her walk out and just sits with her dad, kind of watching him sleep and try not to wake him up, but hyper aware of the fact that, like, he's not going to be around for very long, probably. And all of a sudden it feels real. Like, this always felt like something very far away. This always felt like something decades and decades in the future. And now suddenly those decades have caught up, and Will is looking at him so aware of the passage of time, so aware of the reality of God. This is something I don't feel qualified to do.
You sit there in that feeling, and it feels like a long time that you sit with that. And then your dad kind of slowly opens one eye. Hey, Pumpkin.
Hey, Dad. How are you feeling?
Gave me the good stuff. I'm feeling real good.
Oh, my God. You can't... Dad, you can't talk like that. They're gonna lower your emotion.
He sits up a little bit, but he's just kind of like, I'll tell you something. They don't make stuff like this here. This is some good old Feywild stuff, I'm telling you.
Oh
right there.
My God. I'm gonna tell him to cut your dosage of this potion.
No.
Ah, no, I swear I will.
I will, no, don't do it to me. Would you deny an old man a beautiful little taste of the past?
Getting high?
It feels listen, feels pretty good.
Oh, God. I bet you haven't had this since you're 20,
good.
So.
It's pretty good. Maybe now that I'm all brittle, they'll let me take some of the medical stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Think your mom will let me do that?
No.
What?
Not for a second.
Oh. You tell her it's a human thing. Tell her it's important for, it's part of human culture.
Human culture?
She doesn't know anything about human culture. You tell her most things. You say, oh, it's part of human culture. And she'll just get all huffy about it. Stop asking questions.
Hey.
Hey.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm tired.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. The hell happened? You tripping over your own 2 feet?
I told your mom. I told her to get rid of those peacocks in the front yard. But she likes the peacocks. I said they're getting aggressive. She said, oh, they're pretty. Oh, they're nice. They're not nice.
They're nice if you don't fuck with them.
Listen. So I was outside. I was trying to get the damn peacocks off the yard. What I was going to do, I was going to go out there and make a nice little rock sculpture, you know. Because, you know, I miss gardening, you know. You know, we can't really garden, so I got my rocks, and the peacocks were out there, and all of a sudden, I don't know. Doc said they fixed up my hip.
They did. It'll be better, you know, but you're gonna have to take some of these potions. Potions, yeah.
Back in my day, just bandage it up, you just kept on going.
Well, I'm afraid that your day isn't here anymore, thank God. So.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Okay.
It's just, you know, just a little stumble.
Listen, so, Dad, are you feeling okay, like, getting around the house and everything?
Yeah, I know you guys. Yeah, no,
I can come back and visit more often, you know?
Well, I'd love that, but you don't gotta do it on my account.
I would do it on your account.
I'm slowing down a little bit, you know? Not everything's as fast as you used to be, and sometimes that takes longer to do things, sometimes harder to get jar pickles open, sort of thing. But, I don't know. I'm taking it slower, too, and that's nice sometimes. You sit out, you watch the peacocks, you think, oh, maybe the peacocks aren't so bad, and then they do this shit.
Mom is, Mom's upset right now.
You two fighting again?
No, we're not fighting. I was just asking her questions and she got mad.
What kind of questions?
Just questions. Don't worry about it.
Mm. You know your mama doesn't like you asking questions she don't know the answer to.
No, she should. She should know the answer, so. I don't know what she expects.
You too worried about me?
What am I not worried about you? It's my job to be worried about you.
No, it's my job to be worried about you. No.
It is my job to be worried about you.
Nope. I'm your papa.
You're an old man.
I'm your old man papa. I'm doing fine.
You're an old
man. I'm doing just fine.
Okay. Have you and Mom talked about, you know, what's going to happen the next few years?
Your dad's, like, quiet for a second. Reaches out and kind of takes your hand. I don't think your mama wants to think about it too much, which, that's tough. But I'm the lucky one, you know. I don't have to worry about it as much because I'm just gonna be gone. So, or maybe I'll be a ghost.
Hey,
wouldn't that be something?
You are gonna live a very long time, I think.
Yeah, but not in the grand scheme of things, you know. I think I'll live a good old long human life. I think your mama knows that, and I think she's not quite ready to see me go yet, and you know what? I'll take it. I'm glad she's not sick of me yet.
Well, she's not sick of you. Who could get sick of you?
Your mama sometimes.
Ah, well, she doesn't mean it.
No, I don't think she does.
Listen, I know when you guys got together, you were, I don't know, things were different and it seemed far away and everything else, but I don't know, the big, horrible, looming thing is here.
It's not right here.
It's not right here. You're not on your death.
But you know something I don't know.
No, I don't, please, I don't look in the future or any of that bullshit, but I do know that, I don't know, time moves faster the more you experience it. And I just want to make sure you're going to be okay.
I'm going to be just fine, Pumpkin. I'm a little worried your mom might get lonely sometimes. So, you know. But it's, you know, not right now. You know, maybe you get her a little dog or something when I'm gone. You know, like a little terrier that'll remind her of me because it's scruffy.
You want me to get her a dog?
Like something scruffy.
Okay. I'll get her a mutt. How's that?
Yeah, it looks kind of like me in the eyes.
Human eyes? Oh, gee. Ugh. Horribly creepy.
I'll talk to her.
Hey, when you get out of here, when we bust you out of here, how about we all go out to dinner?
Bust me out of here right now, yeah.
Yeah? Should I bust you out of here right now?
Yeah, I could use a drink. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm volunteering down at the Blink Dog shelter lately.
Blink Dog.
Works fine. No, God, no. She couldn't run after it. Are you kidding me?
Oh, that'd be kind of funny. No, don't tell her I said that. Don't tell her I said that. No, it'll be... Hon, it's gonna be okay.
Mm.
I lived a crazier life than most humans get to. I lived a longer life than most humans get to, and I got time. I'm not dead yet. Stop talking about me like I'm dead.
Okay.
It'll be okay, and she'll be, you know, I think, you know, sometimes I feel selfish, because she gave up a lot of stuff to be with me, you know, and...
She chose to do that.
No, I know, but when I'm gone, you know, it's not like she has the same things to go back to, you know, and that's not so fair, but could never get that woman to do anything she didn't want to do, so...
That's certainly true. She's resilient, that one.
Mm-hmm. And he kind of squeezes your hand a little, and you feel his fingers are wrinkly and his skin's kind of papery, but there's something still in the way that he squeezes your hand that is deeply familiar to you. It's gonna be okay.
You have this way of making all of us laugh and just giggle no matter what. You know that? We're absolutely ridiculous.
I try my best to be ridiculous.
You're a clown, is what you are.
I'm deeply offended. I would never consider myself someone the likes of such terrorizations as those
painted monstrosities.
All right. You want me to go and get Mom?
Yeah, yeah. I want to see my baby.
Oh, gross.
Hey, you gotta do me a favor.
What?
You gotta see, there's a beautiful girl out in the hall.
Oh my God.
You gotta find out if she thinks I'm cute or not.
Disgusting. You guys are married.
I hope she thinks I'm cute. I wanna
You have ended this honeymoon phase like decades ago?
I'm kind of sweet on her. I wanna take her. I wanna go study with her.
I'm heading out. I'm leaving. Disgusting. And I'll look for my mom in the hall.
You see your mother's walk down to, like, there's, like, a little sunroom at the end of the hall, and she's looking out, and she's just, weeping.
Mom?
Yes, Wilma.
Got some Kleenex for my purse and hand it to her.
She just takes it silently.
So, Dad's away.
Oh, that's good.
He asked me to go and talk to the cutie down the hall for him.
Oh, stop it.
I know.
Ugh, he's such a little fox. Silly, silly man.
No. But, he wants to see you. Misses you.
You know, when I first met your father, I'd never seen a human like that before. He was very handsome, but that handsome is what handsome is, you know, that doesn't mean anything. And times were tough then, you know. It was during that horrid war. He had actually gone to the Feywild to see what he could do about helping some of the children who had been separated from their families, and he was doing...
Yeah, he was volunteering, I remember.
Yeah. And, we were all so miserable all the time. It was terrible, it was horrid. And your father was so funny. Could make a joke out of just about anything.
He was talking about how much you gave up to be with him. And Wilma looks at her mom and sees, not as intense, but like she sees the wrinkles in her mom too. Like her mom is also getting older, rapidly faster than an elf should.
Yeah.
Do you ever wonder what it would have been like if you would have stayed? You talk about it all the time. I mean, if you would have stayed.
Well, of course, you wonder. But I don't know where we would have gone or where we would have settled. The family home was gone, and he didn't have family there, and it would have been different. Perhaps it would have been good. Perhaps it would have been terrible. Magic can do strange things to mortals, so perhaps he would have ended up with two heads.
Well, one more face for you to kiss.
I don't know what I'm going to do when he's gone. And I don't... I know I will handle it. Your father and I will talk about it, and I will have you, and that will be lovely. And when it happens, I will deal with it. But I don't much like to think about it.
I find myself thinking if I don't have every avenue, I don't know, mapped out, things will be worse.
You get that from my side of the family.
Yeah, I know that. I'm not used to you ignoring problems. Not that Dad's a problem. He's not a problem.
Just because I don't want to talk about it does not mean I've ignored it. It's a problem that it's my problem every day. It gets harder for your father to get his breakfast ready by himself. It's harder for him to remember everything we did the night before. Trying as best I can to appreciate what time we have left together.
I feel so silly because I feel like, Mom, I don't want you to think that I'm blaming you at all when I say this. Please don't think that I'm blaming you because I love you guys. But I can't help thinking, why didn't you think of this? Why would you go ahead and marry him and have a child with him when you knew that this was coming? From the beginning, you knew that this was set up. Now it's here, and I mean, not here, but here. And I mean, Jesus Christ, I don't understand why you'd get started with something you knew it was going to fail.
Well, that
my tear.
That's where you're wrong.
What?
Just because something ends doesn't make it a failure.
Wouldn't you have rather been with someone who would have lasted as long?
Would it have been nice if your father could have lasted as long? Of course. But your father was the only one that I wanted to spend whatever my life would be like with. We knew what was coming. I think it only surprises me that it came. I thought perhaps we would be closer, that I would have caught up faster. But I don't think I would have changed anything.
I can't tell if you're brave or stupid.
Possibly both.
Go hand in hand, yeah?
I'm going to smack you upside the head.
Sorry, Mom. I know Dad is missing you.
Come round more. He misses you.
I know. I will.
You take that sad little car.
It's not sad.
To your father.
It's old.
It's very sad. It's sad and old. You come and you visit your father, and you keep him away from the peacocks.
Oh, I know. I heard about this.
You haven't done anything to him. He just doesn't like them preening outside.
They're assholes to him, is what they are.
They're not assholes.
I don't know why you insist.
They're opinionated birds.
Okay.
They're very proud.
Very proud assholes.
She laughs and sort of, you know, dabs her eyes. Your mother's not particularly austere, but I don't know if she has ever been the type of person to be incredibly emotionally vulnerable with you. And you can see even in this moment, she's already trying to, like, there's a certain embarrassment of, like, zipping herself up and pulling herself together and, like...
She's trying to be refined.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get you.
She stands up. Well, I have a date, apparently, so...
Ah, disgusting. You guys are married.
Yes. You should hope that you are still having... dates with whoever you end up with at our age.
Stop. Oh, okay, well, go clean your face up.
It is already immaculate.
Okay.
And she leans down, she gives you a kiss on the head, and walks back toward your father's room.
I'm gonna sit in the sunroom for a second. Gotta take it in. I'm by myself here, I'm looking around and just appreciating that there's like a moment of quiet in this very bustling hospital, at least in this room. And I'll take out my phone and I'll start to look up restaurants nearby for us to all go to dinner. I'm gonna treat them to something nice. And once I've given them enough time to kind of be with each other, I'll make my way back to my dad's room and kind of peek my head in.
You can see your mom is sort of leaned over your dad. They're like very close. And, like, their foreheads are touching. And when you walk in, she kind of sits back.
Hi, don't mean to interrupt anything.
You're not interrupting anything, dear.
All right, well.
Turns out she was sweet on me after all.
Oh, my God, disgusting. Okay, well, I found a spot. Leaves my phone for us to go once we break you out of this place.
Yes, I would love that. I hope there's lots of... carbs involved. I think that would sound. She's like, Jonah, you gotta be taking care of yourself. You have to. And he's like, I can eat whatever I want now. I gotta take potions. And she's like, I don't take that. Nope, that's not what the potions do.
Nope.
That's not really what that's for.
Not at all.
So your daughter and I will make sure that you have something nice to eat tonight. And he's like, I want steak. I want steak and potatoes.
Okay, well, I will get you steak and potatoes.
Yes, and also maybe a margarita.
Not that. You're not supposed to mix alcohol with this stuff.
And he's like, oh, maybe they'll let me take some of this home. And she's like, no, they will not. You take your parents out for dinner, probably for the first time in a while that you guys have a dinner together. And you feel as though there is a tentativeness around your mother, that desire to fix and to hold and to correct that is being
mitigated by her desire to be soft and attentive to cushion her normal, she wants to be in charge and as helpful as possible, but also trying, it seems like on purpose, to not do that as they're sitting at dinner. Like, she, like, is watching your dad try and, like, cut his steak slowly, and, like, the power it's taking her not to, like, take the plate away from him and do it herself is, like,
yeah,
significant. But there is a tenderness in the aftermath of this event that you watch your parents interact with each other, and even now there is a, and maybe more than you have noticed in a while, there is a playfulness and a softness in their interaction that you remember from when you were a little kid.
I appreciate them. I admire them. There's, even with all like the "ew, gross" of it all, they have done a lot for each other. They always have, and they've always done it without question. And there's moments when I don't understand it. Like, it doesn't make logical sense, but I still appreciate it. I've been very lucky to witness their love.
You can tell by the end of dinner that she's fallen back into her old, no, you need to get your coat on. You gotta get a chill if you don't put your coat on. He's like, I'm fine. I'm naturally warm. She's like putting it back on him, and you watch them head back home, and your mom, who is now stands taller than your father, didn't necessarily always. The firm but gentle way that she walks, she holds him as they walk. They hold each other. As Will heads home, she gets ready for the night. What do you think the last thing she thinks of is before she falls asleep?
She thinks of a specific day when she was in school still and still living with her parents. She couldn't have been older than like 13 or 14 at this point, when her dad was cooking dinner for everybody and her mom came home and was just so tired, and he was making her laugh and making her giggle, and she realizes just the value that that added. No matter how serious the day was, no matter how tough, her parents could giggle with each other and had such a gentleness to each other. And she would kind of like push it aside and joke about it and find it kind of gross at that time. But now looking back, she's like, God, what a standard on how to be treated, you know? So she thinks of that and, oh God, just misses that day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of What Happened to the Malachite Wastes. Each of our adventures are spontaneous tales from our guide, Isabella Z. Vergun. Wilma Shirley, played by Cameron Helderman, a marvelous artist and content creator. Cam is best known for their roles in Tabletop Tavern, Heroes of Bastion, and other TTRPG actual play series. They can be found at cam.inator on most social media platforms. This show is produced by Annalise Fisher. Our sound team is run by our audio lead, Nate Clayman, and Nicholas Kirshner as our additional dialogue editor. Our music was created and produced by our composer, Ryan Tucker. Our art team is led by our art director, Chris Gargoyle Pastures, and features our incredible artists, Caroline Gendron and Anna Renee Chavez. Our team would not be complete without the hard work of our social media manager, Frankie Gula, our Lord Keepers, Kyler Carter and Brandy Allaire, and our server warlock, Alex Glicka. Find us on Instagram and TikTok at The Malachite Wastes, or join us on the official Malachite Wastes Discord server to see more of their amazing contributions. If you'd like to support our team and the work that they do, please consider subscribing to our Patreon, where you can find all kinds of cool bonus content, like Session Zeros, Patreon-exclusive interviews and sketches, sneak peeks at upcoming arts, and so much more. You can find all of our incredible team's individual work linked in the episode description below.